Lisa is the prodigal son's father. After his son had been away from home, he needed his mother in his life and different things and contrary to the father. And come to me. He said, I'm going home. The father signed along with us. And you imagine in your mind that every day that father was expecting that son to return. This time he listened to our son. This is that son who was dead and now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. Notice it was not a physical death that he said that he was in, but a spiritual death. And that resurrection had to come into his heart. A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. That spiritual resurrection is the thing that's important. We who have been resurrected to that spiritual life have Christ living within our soul. The soul has no life in it without Christ in it. It's just dead. She that liveth in flesh is she is dead and possibly living. Note the fact that she has a life, physical life, but she has a separation from God which causes death, and she's dead possibly living. So we appreciate being able to be resurrected to a new life with Christ Jesus. We're thankful for that. We're going to read some in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, we'll start at the 51st. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Notice the fact that change was mentioned two times in our reading. And in the Paul refrain was telling about a change has taken place within my book. That is the change in the soul. If the soul experiences when the life of Christ comes within it. And there will be a change of our mortal body into an immortal body. This is the change that is speaking of here in this particular reading. Mortality is putting on immortality. When we are born into this world, we are born mortal beings. Flesh and blood. And this mortal body is an outstanding something to mortal body. The functioning. It's an amazing thing. We have make our eyes just be focused on an object. If my eyes can focus on this glass of water, and then my brain can send a message to my hand and tell me to pick up this glass. This is the functioning of the mortal body. And it's amazing. But it has its limitations. We are just mortal beings. As wonderfully as we're made, yet we're still, this part of us is temporary. This part that you can see. And I can look in the mirror, and I can see the mortalness of my life. I can look and I can behold my ears. I can see wrinkles. Proving that this is just mortal. This body is my house. The house is the soul. In other words, it transports your soul. And it is the most important thing, the soul. You take a knife and you crack. You don't treasure that shell too much. You take and throw it aside. But the meat inside of that knife, that's what you have to do. That's what you have to pay so much a pound for in the soul. They don't sell shit. We're made from dust. Have you ever seen a spine finger? This is what we're made from. This mortal part of man. We're made from the dust and the dirt. You go to a person's house and they have dust on their furniture. Well, maybe you don't esteem them as really nasty. We've got something human like that that's under that. Women who keep house, they keep a dust. Yeah, don't. Not regarded too high, dust is, or dirt. That's what we're made from. The thing that's valuable about us is that self. This mortal part is just put in the ground after it ceases to function. After our brains cease to send messages to the body and our heart ceases to pump blood throughout the body. We put these bodies in a casket and have a funeral for them, and then they end up buried in the ground. This is the mortal part, our mortal body. We'll read some about it over in Ecclesiastes 12 chapter. Keep in mind the mortal and immortal, and we'll try to get to that immortal after a while. Let's start at the first verse. Remember now thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no faith in me. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the window be darkened. Now, in this mortal body, there are stages that it goes through, changes all along the way. You see the little baby in the mother's arm, and it isn't too long until that little baby's up walking. And then before long, it's going to school. And then after a while, they're thing about getting married, there's three changes all along in this mortal body. But keep in mind this change that I read about in Ephesians. That's the great thing. So as this body changes, it comes down to the winding down of it. And this is what is described in these verses. In the day when the keeper of the house shall come. Now this house is, what I mentioned before, a house, this earthly house. Paul said we know that this earthly house, this tabernacle, your new desire, is a house not made with man eternal in the heaven. So this house, the keepers of the house shall come. That means when they get old and shaken. As I looked on Bert Austin's production the other night, when he was standing in the pulpit and he wanted to adjust his glasses, and he was just so shaken. What was happening, the keepers of a house was trembling. This happened. This is the winding down of this mortal life. The keepers of the house trembled. And the strong men shall bow in prayer. Have you ever noticed how some young men stand so erect, and especially those who have received military training, how they can just stand so erect and be so proud of their posture? But you let them live. You let them get up in age, and those shoulders will start sagging. And they'll give to the feeling and start stooping over. They bow themselves. This mortal body that I'm talking about. This man describing it here, and the grinder sees before their feet. The teeth. Because they're feet. Many times we have a full ass. Get some different ones. But when this man was riding this, they probably didn't have that. The grinder sees it because they're feet. And the doors be shut in the street. Our people are young, they can come and roll the woods. But that isn't the condition that happened, though, was it? Sometimes it comes to the point in life where they shut in that house. In those four walls, they're shut in, not able to get out and go. And to those who have used getting out and going as an escape to get things off their conscience, now they'll have to be in those four walls and be shut in with all those things all day long. Shut in now. Not able to get out and go with the gang. Not able to get out and revel in the things that once were. They're shut in. The scripture, this man is trying to get young people to remember this is going to happen to you. You're not only staying in the state that you're in. Well, I suppose the oldest person in here this morning, if he was to look back over his life, it would just seem such a short while since he came in. It just seemed so short since I was just a young person. The life has got away from me. Life is the scripture says in James it is as a vapor which appears for a short while and then it's gone. This mortal life is likened as a vapor. When I lived in California, we lived not too far from a large airport. And you could look and behold those great, those large commercial jets coming in. And it didn't look like they were moving at the pace that they were moving. But if you would watch those commercial jets, though it didn't look like they were moving all that fast, it wasn't very long till they danced down the side. It don't look like maybe that it's going so fast, but you're on the thing all the time. We start dying the day that we're having. And one day this mortal life dies in it. It's complete. Shut in that. We won't go into detail with all this. And he shall rise up with the voice of a bird. People can retire from work, and maybe they'll get up earlier than they did when they went to school. Get up at the time of the bird starts singing, see? This is early in the morning. Take sleep. They'll rise up with the voice of a bird. This is true happiness. This is the way this mortal life went. Here a man's lived all of his life and maybe dreaded getting up every day that he's had to go to work. And he looks forward to the time when he can retire and sleep in it. He finally reaches that age where he's eligible for retirement. And then he wakes up with the voice of the bird. The waters of mercy shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is on earth, fear shall be in their way. We're going to say about how the grasshoppers should be addressed. Just a little bitty thing. A grasshopper is considered a small insect. It's a very small insect. But life can become so burdensome that even a little insect can be addressed. In other words, the little things can be so burdensome to elderly people. Just maybe they're waiting to go someplace. And that might seem a little thing, but they can be so impatient. I've worked among the senior citizens for over 15 years. And one of the ladies at the home there in Charlie doesn't have much to occupy her time but to roll around in the wheelchair. In the morning before lunch, while she'll go down to the living room and she sits there. And she's like, I wish to be here. After a while, she said, I wish they'd hurry up. See, she's, all she's got is time. But she's wishing they'd hurry up. It's a burden to her because they don't get dinner by the evening. This is the way it is. This little thing can be so annoying to all the people and be a burden to them. Also, it goes down here and says that, and desire shall come. Desire. I've seen people actually get to the point where we know that having to take food into our system is a must. Well, you know what it is. We're constituted in a way that our bodies have to live on food. But I've seen elderly people get to the point that even the desire for food, they don't want anything. Desire things. Aged people are so diverse. You've had children who used to just rush into the car and go off to McDonald's in the ambulance. They didn't even go with you. You try to do that for some elderly people. clean. And in the morning, we'll open all these things. In other words, we come to the point, the man goes to the wrong end. In the morning, you see the human possessions going through the street. Go through the street. Man going to his own home. This mortal man is on its way out of here. It isn't always people that get to this stage. Some are caught off distant entities. Some live longer spans and can't even reach adulthood. But we're all on our way to our long home. In time, you will be. Talking about this mortal mind that we read in the scripture, that the mortal must put on immortality. That's a great thing to those who are ready. The songwriter said, this robe of flesh. What? What are you going to do with this robe of flesh? It's going to drop. I'll drop it. It's going to fall from it. And the 52nd verse, it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, where the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. To those who are ready to be robed in an incorruptible body, an immortal body. I wonder if we can grasp of what immortality is. Our soul is immortal, and our body is mortal now. But at this time, when the change comes, body will be immortal and soul will be immortal. They'll be matched up immediately. And the soul will unite with the body. And those who are alive and remain, they will be changed from mortal to immortality. We have spoke some this morning of the mortal. And we tried to get a little focus on the immortal. We could not endure the glory of God in His presence in this mortal place. His glory and His brightness is so awesome and great that this little dust and dirt and clay could not stand. So we have to have a special body for a special place. When they send the astronauts into outer space, and they get out of their capsules and are exposed to the atmosphere that is out there in outer space, they are not enclosed like we are. They have a special garment that will be able to withstand what they face out there. Don't you know our God is far smarter than that? And He's got a special body for the special place we're going. A prepared body for a prepared place. Now, where I am in Shawnee, there's a sister that's 32 years old. I've never seen anything that compares with her. her feet when she was operated on and through complications, and I heard of the operation, I heard of medicine. Her feet has enlarged itself beyond normal. You just can't hardly that. It's falling off in time. It's so enlarged. And she suffers pain. And she has drainage with an odor from the sea. Remember when Job had them boils from way up here? That means when he went to walk, he was walking on water. When he combed his hair, he had to comb through doors. When he'd go to sit down, he'd have to sit on board. When he'd go to lay down, he'd have to lay on board. The girl was way too But anyway, this sister had not laid down in bed for over 2 years. She sits up. She is confined to this chair the biggest portion of the 24-hour day. Some days she don't even stand up to move. The mortal body is subject to these types of things. But the mortal body will only take so much of it. And then it'll go into a state of unconsciousness or pass out completely. But you know what? She's going to get a body. All heavenly body, all heavenly body, free from every imperfection, useful and happy, I should be. All heavenly body, all heavenly body. Now bedtime comes when she won't have that problem no more. There was a one-legged prayer in the Shawnee Congregation passed on before I moved there. But after he had passed away, his son had a dream. He saw his daddy with broken legs. Be no cripples in heaven. You're going to have a different body altogether that will be able to stand, be in the presence of God, and yet be free from aging. It will be free from headaches or toothaches or whatever plagues this mortal body. This immortal body is going to be free from. Not only things that you associate that way, but it's going to be free from fear. Grief and sorrow have a part of this life. We go through those things in this mortal body, don't we? Remember, Jacob was so grieved over, he thought, the loss of Joseph. He was grieved to the point that he just refused to be comforted. No telling how many nights he'd go to sleep, waiting to see. But you know, in heaven, there won't be. Our bodies will not have to have any ability to produce tears. Here, it's a blessing to be able to talk. It's a release of emotion. It's giving vent to the feeling. Even Jesus wept. He shed tears. But you know, there's a place for all tears shall be wiped away. No reason for tears. Nothing there to bring sorrow to the heart. All will be glory and joy and happiness. Sorrow and sigh be away. And wouldn't we be happy to have Jesus, the one who died for me and you, standing right there before me? Just to be in his presence and have our soul soul to be illuminated with the joy and the growth that we've been able to obtain through His eyes, and having stripes placed upon His back, and having that fear put inside. This is what will bring joy and gladness to the soul. And we won't have to take time to eat. Those when we have all day meetings now, while there's an intermission time, and you all go down the basement. Somebody has to hurry down there and get the food ready. We won't have to do that. We won't have to take time to eat. We won't have to take time to sleep. We know these bodies are tired, don't they? They get weary and worn, especially if you've been in a long period of pain and suffering. These bodies get worn and the nerves get strained. It's a difficult thing to go through these things. But look up. Change is coming. Immortality is coming. Glory is waiting. Oh yes, this robe of flesh, this thing that plagued us and had us down, and the thing that caused you to shed tears, one of these days will happen. All will be glory. All will be joy. No sorrow. That's worth going through. But the other side of this is wicked. We're going to have an immortal body too. Now we know that fire consumes. Is there a scripture that says something about the We know that this body will not withstand heat. Degree by degree, our skin burns. First degree, second degree, third degree. People can get burns over portions of their body, and they don't even make it. But this incorruptible body, his spiritual body, that the wicked will have also, will be able to stand and endure the torment and torture that awaits him. A million years will not change. Now, when a soul that is saved passes on, this life, before this day happens, when the last trumpet happens, the soul goes, that is saved, goes to Paradise. Remember the thief that Jesus said this day? It goes to a spiritual place where it rests and waits for this day, this time of life. All right. The unsaved person who died in his sin, their soul also goes to a place of waiting. Remember the rich man and Lazarus. The soul has feelings. And remember, and we know what it is for the flesh to be hurt. We can stick ourselves with a pill. That'll work. It's amazing work. But the soul has feelings too. It can be hurting, and you're not hurting anywhere you go. When it's that soul. Remember the song that says, "My soul in trouble room." Well, where is that? And it was restless. My soul was restless. And every long. It longed for something. The soul had a longing. Those who are in sin, your soul has a longing for life. For the life of Christ to come in. there's nothing in this whole wide world that'll fill that place. God created man that there was nothing in this world that would satisfy man besides God. Sodom and give an account of different things he did, and they summed it all up after he did it. It was vanity, vanity, and vexation. In other words, that place where God created in your soul for him and him alone will not be satisfied with the pleasure of the earth. It won't be satisfied with any fleshly desire to be fulfilled. Only you have accepting God and having it in his fullness will satisfy the earth. All right. This man had had things to satisfy his flesh, the scripture. But Lazarus was a poor man and he desired just to what? You know you can get so if you don't. And they're good. You take a half a good old moist steak and leave some crumbs there. That's all right, isn't it? And if you eat enough of those crumbs, you're gonna get food. Lazarus desired those things. You didn't have the steaks and the fine things that the rich man had. He was willing to settle for fun. But when he died, the angel just come next and took him to that place of rest and peace. The rich man died. And he didn't go to the same place last year. But he could look. You can see. The soul has vision. What did that songwriter say? I see a shining coming. Away over there. I see a mansion office there. And definitely knew it. He wasn't seeing with these mansions. The soul was looking beyond this veil of flesh and fear, and he saw that crown on his head. This rich man falls off the cliff. Lazarus was there for him in one. He desired just one drop. Remember, the torment will start when the soul leaves the body to let the pain. And remember, the rest will start too when the soul leaves the body of the opposite. You can be up there resting where the answer is. There was a gulf. Lazarus over here. This man down here. And there was no way for him to look at him. No way for him to be seen. There was a space in the room. Now is your time to pray. Now Jesus is saying to let me take away. If this sinner man can come up here and get over there to where a saint is. This changes from death to life. The blood of Jesus still cleanses. Not only when you get saved, when you get sanctified, but even after that, you got things you need to be cleansed of. I didn't. And Jesus said, hey, well, don't wait. You're being passed on this week. Before you make your decision, if you want to go to that place, we're born again, no child is dying to you. As soon as Brother Scott says to me, the people of the one man in sin all their life, and give their years and their service, they won't be okay. the time. This man that wrote Ecclesiastes was a learned young man. Remember your Creator and your youth before these things happened in your time. And I've been with older people so much that after they get to age, they're not able to retain things. They don't have to do with it. Senality is so prevalent in elderly people that their minds get all over the grass and do everything. That's one reason why it's what they know. Before the evil day comes, if you can do it, ready to do it. Well, this is going to be quite a day. And that last trumpet. And this is going to happen. You really need to slow down. Then you can see changes in nature now. You know that a butterfly comes from a worm. Isn't that the truth? An old ugly worm. Through a process of pride, developed into a preservative. This old ugly mortal clay is going to develop into something. We're going to ask, I don't know if we're going to have men, they say the angels will be. But we're going to take a flight to him. We're going to meet him in the air. You can see the changes in nature. You can see that now the leaves are beginning to pop out. I like it. Isn't it pretty when the flowers that have been buried in the ground through the strength of God can push their way up through that ground and pop out there and show you beauty? What about them old bodies that have been sold and weak down under the ground? But one of these days you're going to push up that old turtle and come out of there. You're going to do it. It's going to happen. These old bodies are, they're sold and weak. Mr. Olson Wilson was a missionary in Africa, and she died there. She was unable to be embalmed properly. We didn't have the chances of embalming them as they did here in the United States. And when they got her, calmly waiting. But they went out. Aren't you glad Jesus is out? He lives today. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He's walking.